Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
We're so glad to welcome President Trump to Arizona. Glad he chose Phoenix, Arizona as a place to come and reconnect with his voters, with his supporters. And I'm glad to be here, being a part of it, talking to all these VIPs, the VIPs who are the voters.
Was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? He should have had a jury, but you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay?
The regrettable ending of it with a group that decided that they wanted to throw at the police and the police having to respond doesn't mar what I thought was a day-long, very peaceful, very purposeful demonstration of thousands of people.
And joining me to talk about President Trump's visit to the Valley and the protests around it, among other things, are Doug Cole. He's Senior Vice President with High Ground Public Affairs. He served in the administrations of former Governor Fife Symington and Congressman John McCain, among other political endeavors. And Lawrence Robinson, Executive Director of the Maricopa Community College District Civic Center for Civic Participation. He's also a member of the Roosevelt School District Governing Board. And our disclaimer that KJZZ is licensed to the Maricopa County Community College District. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks,
Mark,
for having us.
So let's start where we should start, which is President Trump's visit this week. Doug, how do you think he did?
Well, it's been a very interesting week, Mark.
That might be the understatement of the month.
Welcome to Arizona. The week started with a very presidential speech on Monday out at across the river at Fort Myer in front of military officials, generals. The defense secretary and enlisted men in a very presidential speech about Afghanistan. I mean, even John McCain went to Twitter and gave him great accolades for the speech, as most people did. The next day, we had candidate Trump here in Phoenix, Arizona. The only difference was he was standing behind the presidential podium, a 2016 vintage campaign rally. And then the next day, and it's like I have whiplash, we're in Reno, Nevada, standing in front of the American Legion annual convention, and we had President Trump again. So it's been a roller coaster. And we're only eight months into this administration, and we're already doing campaign rallies and speaking to the base.
And this wasn't even his first campaign-style rally of his administration.
Correct. He'd been earlier in West Virginia and Ohio. So I think this is how it's going to be for the next 4 years. It's totally new territory, uncharted territory, where we just have this whipsaw back and forth.
What does that mean, Lawrence, for voters, for people who support or oppose the president? And what does it mean potentially for getting stuff done in Washington if, as Doug says, we're going ping-ponging back and forth between candidate Trump and President Trump?
Well, you speak about ping-ponging, and I think of the term squirrel, because I think what he is doing is distracting his base from the fact that he is not producing any results. There were signs behind him said promises made and promises kept, and I don't know what promises those were other than to entertain his base. I mean, they're a base of carnivores, and he's throwing them red meat every day, and they're eating it up. But at the end of the day, I hope it's not 4 years, because I think this man is a disgrace. And I think you can't be presidential in one speech. You got to be presidential at all times to the whole country. And he has proven that he doesn't want to do that.
Doug, does the fact that he is sort of going back and forth, I mean, does the fact that he gave a very sober speech on a war on Monday and, you know, a pretty sober address on Wednesday dealing with Veterans Affairs and speaking, as you said, to the American Legion, are those affected in any way by the fact that they were sandwiched by this very raucous campaign rally in which he essentially trashed Arizona's two U.S. senators and had the crowd chanting
CNN. Not essentially
CNN,
trashed. He did trash them.
He had the crowd chanting CNN sucks.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
does that affect maybe how we perceive the actual presidential stuff?
Well, it just makes the casual observer very confused. His base is going to be with him no matter what. And we've seen that time and again in Arizona politics with former Governor Evan Meekum. The list is long. And he came out here to I think, in some cases, make himself feel better. He's been very frustrated that he can't, drain the swamp, because the swamp is very deep. And his really only, as Lawrence accurately said, his really only achievement's been to get a U.S. Supreme Court justice through the process. That's it. We have no repeal and replace. The biggest thing I think he needs to be focusing on is what he wants to do with infrastructure and tax reform. That's very popular, not only here in Arizona, but across the country. He ought to be focusing on what he can get done right now, because the way it's going, the 2018 elections are going to be like Barack Obama's 2010 elections, and he's in dire jeopardy of losing a Republican majority in both houses with this behavior and where the public sentiment is today.
Is that realistic? I mean, do you think Democrats really could win the House, especially given the way the districts are drawn and given the reliability, or in some cases the lack of reliability, that we saw in the last election as far as what predictions and polling had to say?
Well, let's talk about the Senate first, because that's at 52 right now. So he is actively campaigning against one of those 52, and that's Senator Jeff Flake. He's also actively campaigning against Dean Heller up in Nevada. Well, you know, I my Coolidge High School math says, okay, we're losing our majority if those two go down. You know, Arizona has a history, and we'll get probably into the Flake race later. This is what happened in 1976 after Watergate. We had two sitting conservative Arizona congressmen, Sam Steiger and John Conlon, sitting congressmen, had a holy war against each other, and it literally was a case between the far right and the middle. They took each other out, and this unknown Pima County attorney named Dennis DeConcini came in on their coattails because the Republican Party was in shambles after Watergate. So let's look at history.
Lawrence, do you see the parallels here?
I do see the parallels, but here's where I think we break from the parallels, which makes for a stronger case of electing a Democrat in 2018 in Arizona to the Senate. Kyrsten Sinema has been a force of nature here. You know, since she was running around town with pink or blue hair as a liberal, and now where she's evolved to really a centrist candidate who's representing the swingiest of districts in the state. And I would argue that she is more prepared than a Dennis DeConcini. She's probably more prepared as a savvy, moderate woman representing the East Valley and coming from Tucson than most candidates the Democrats could ever put up. Add to that the sort of resentment toward Trump and probably some of his base staying home, and the fact that the left and probably a lot of the silent majority has had enough with Trump. And I think it may be enough. You know, you can't attack our hometown heroes like John McCain and Jeff Flake. I mean, Democrats even loved John McCain and Jeff Flake and get away with it. And so I think it's going to have effects on a lot of races. U.S. Senate race, I think, is the Dems to have.
Lawrence, is it your belief that Representative Sinema will, in fact, run?
I do believe Representative Sinema will run. I think it's an open secret that she has been savvy and strategic in preparing for this run. She's got more money on hand than a lot of other electeds in the country. And the Democrats in D.C. want a senator from this state. And if you look at the high ground poll, it's happening.
So let's talk about that high ground
sure.
poll, because, Doug, you worked on it. It showed that Senator Flake in a bit of trouble, both in the primary and the general, against Kelly Ward, who at this point anyway is the only announced primary challenger. Kelly Ward is ahead of Senator Flake, basically 42% to 28%.
It's a 12-point lead. Yeah.
Right. And in a general election, it shows that Senator Flake would lose to Kyrsten Sinema by about 8 points. What do you take away from this, at least at this point in the race?
Well, it just shows, and well, let's first just look at where we are on the calendar. We're a year out. That's a lifetime.
Almost exactly a year from the primary.
Almost exactly a year out. So if I was going to be down, this is the time I would want to be down. Okay, so, but Senator Flake has the power of incumbency. That is hard to overcome. So that works in his favor. I totally agree with everything that Lawrence said about Kyrsten Sinema. She's my congresswoman. I've known her for years, and she has done a very fine job of moving to the center and making herself more electable. But what we did find in this poll is that about 45% really don't know her and her job performance. So what that gives, we're talking about Senator Flake now, his opportunity is to come in and define her quickly. So she needs to get in the race. And because that's her biggest underbelly at this point, having somebody else, you know, affect those 45% that really don't know her enough to have an opinion of her.
Do you think that Kelly Ward can really knock off Jeff Flake in a primary?
If the election were held right now and all things being equal, our poll. Now, remember, our poll is not, we don't talk to people that don't vote. Any high ground poll always talks to what we call known voters. We've looked at their you know, it's public record. We can see whether you voted or not. And if you don't vote, we don't talk to you because you don't matter.
In this way, anyway.
In the process, I mean, I'm sorry to be so blunt, but if you don't participate in the process, you're not part of the environment. So we only talk to known voters. Now, there is a way out for him, but it's going to be an expensive, long way out. Now, the unknown here is, and we all know that Representative Trent Franks and State Treasurer Jeff DeWitt and former party chairman Graham met with the president beforehand. So if one of those jumps in and Kelly Ward doesn't jump out, she's a very independent woman, it's a three-way race. Those numbers look pretty good for Jeff Flake.
The other thing that I think needs to be considered in this race is the amount of money that outside groups will be spending, including what Senator Mitch McConnell's affiliated political action committee is willing to do, recently putting out a pretty unkind campaign commercial resurrecting some of the quote-unquote Chemtrail Kelly arguments that Senator McCain used in his race against her before. How significant do you think that outside money could be, Lawrence?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say if Kelly Ward does win the primary, let alone the general election, I will start believing that those chemtrails are present here in the state because it's just really hard to believe. But you look, this will be a national battleground. We saw it faintly in a few of President Obama's elections where we saw a close poll in the end. We saw it with the Clinton campaign choosing to invest in Arizona. And I think we've turned the corner. And I think Trump has helped us to turn the corner by putting the attention back on Arizona as a microcosm for a lot of the divisions in this nation. And so I think you're going to have to start looking at states nationally, if you're a Democratic Party and Republican Party, as litmus tests for the burgeoning Sun Belt, for the burgeoning Hispanic vote and population, and frankly, for kind of the Trump voters. You know, that's where we're at right now in our politics. And so I look for a lot of money to be dumped here.
But let's remember what cycle we're in. The presidential cycles tend to be more moderate voters turn out, and it's a bigger audience
and fewer voters turn out.
And in this cycle that's coming up, it's a gubernatorial cycle, we call it, the off presidential cycle. That in Arizona, the voters tend to be more conservative, and we change our polls based on those cycles, and we weight our polls more towards the conservatives on these because they're the ones that show up in greater numbers in non presidential years.
And I will certainly defer to Doug since he is the expert on polling at the table here. But you know, the triple P poll that came out earlier this year that showed Jeff Flake in some trouble modeled their statistic on the voter turnout for 2016. And if that is the case, that we see as many Democrats and independents turning out as the traditional conservative voters do on an off-cycle election, then I think we've got a race on our hands. And I think what we're going to see in Arizona is a more fired-up Democratic base and a more depressed Republican base.
I think in any case we have a race on our hands.
Yes.
I wasn't discounting that. I'm just saying that's the history of how this rolls.
That's Doug Cole, also joined in studio by Lawrence Robinson. I'm Mark Brody. This is the Friday Newscap on the show. More in just a minute. Good Friday morning. It's the show on KJZZ. I'm Mark Brody in Phoenix. We are in the midst of our Friday newscap, and I'm joined in studio by Lawrence Robinson and Doug Cole. Guys, I want to talk just a little bit longer about the rally that President Trump held. And let's talk very briefly about what he had to say about Sheriff Joe Arpaio. We heard at the top that he predicted that Sheriff Arpaio would be just fine, regardless of what his sentence ultimately is. Doug, is there any way to read this other than the fact that at some point there will be a presidential pardon?
Well, the reports nationally have been that the pardon packet has been prepared and is sitting on in the Oval Office for the president's signature. And as you said in the setup piece, where the president said he'll be just fine, probably that's going to happen here very shortly. But the poll that we ran over the weekend of 400 likely voters statewide shows that only 37% of Arizonans support the pardon, and nearly 57% totally oppose. And breaking that down further, as you can imagine, The GOP base supports the pardon about 63%, but 89% of Democrats, 67% of independents, and nearly 70% of unaffiliated voters oppose it. So, you know, it's playing to the base, and none of these numbers surprise me. You know, and just so the listening public knows, the Arizona electorate's made up about a third Republicans, a third Democrats, and a third of independents and party not disclosed voters. So those are pretty tall numbers, but I think we can see some pardon papers pretty quick.
Lawrence, what kind of reaction do you think that might get in the Valley?
Well, you know, Arpaio and Trump are two thin-skinned peas in a bigoted pod who have utilized the media and, again, distraction and fake news, frankly, to win and to hold power through fear. And it's what both of them have done, and so you're judged by the company you keep, and I think that there will be no surprise when he pardons him. But it's just a further ding in Trump's armor and his presidential appearance. And I think what you got to look at is, where do the independents go? Where do the moderate Republican women go in this state? Where do the Jeff Flake Republicans go? I think they go further and further into the hands of the Democrats or the independents in this state. And I think it moves us a little further and a little quicker to a more purple state.
We also can't talk about Tuesday night without talking about what happened outside the convention center. A largely, by all accounts, peaceful protest until the very end when, depending on, I guess we don't really know exactly what happened, the Phoenix Police Department is going to investigate what led to tear gas and pepper balls being used. Lawrence, how does that change what people think about Phoenix? Does that affect, like, how the overall night went when, you know, you see pictures on the national news of, you know, plumes of tear gas going up in the streets of downtown Phoenix?
You know, I think people are already confused about Phoenix and Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we? I mean, we just seem so hard to put a finger on exactly what our identity is here. You know, we have a mayor who might become a congressman soon, and he is a mayor who, for all intents and purposes, has been a mayor of everybody, kind of a moderate, keeping the powder dry, who came out against Trump coming here. We got a governor who's different, but who chose not to go to the rally. So if you look underneath the surface, it really is a complex state. And, you know, you had the sitting president taking on the two sitting senators. And so I don't think people will ever understand Arizona who aren't from here.
Well, it's always been that way. We're a state of folks that aren't from here.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I will also say, I know so many people who were there at the rallies, myself included, who saw, you know, multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multi-political stripes, really just celebrating, eating, singing. It was not a violent protest.
Yeah, and I think that and many people have applauded the Phoenix Police Department and the Phoenix Fire Department. They're world class. They were prepared, and I think they handled it well. And I think, you know, any investigation will show that.
Does the fact that the night ended the way that it did, and we heard Congressman Grijalva talking about this, he doesn't think this is the case, but do either of you think that the way that the protest ended in any way mars the peaceful nature of it basically all day up until that point?
Well, I think that this is the new normal. I think we're kind of in a phase like we were in the 1960s. It's the new normal. People on both sides are going to show up at these political events, and it's going to be up to law enforcement and civic leaders to try to temper these things. And I just think that we're going to see this for a while.
And I think it's hard for me to actually believe that there is violence on many sides, because I think, you know, in the 60s, we saw people throwing tear gas and we saw radical groups. I haven't seen one picture of the protesters throwing anything. It was really a peaceful. That is one thing Arizonans and Phoenicians have. We don't have that elbow to throw. I mean, we're a pretty moderate, subtle group of people, and that's who was protesting that day.
So we have just a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you guys about the lawsuit filed this week, looking to block the referendum on the school voucher, the ESA expansion program. Lawrence, you serve on a school board. Do you think that this lawsuit, I mean, what do you think will happen? Do you think this lawsuit will be successful? Do you think that voters will ultimately, one way or the other, have their say on this?
Well, I do know the attorneys who are filing this second lawsuit, and they're smart. They work with a lot of the Republican candidates. I think this is a partisan lawsuit. I think it's a partisan lawsuit because it's, again, trying to, in the will of the people here. I mean, it's interesting. It's like the minimum wage lawsuit after the fact. The people have spoken here. ESAs are not popular. Public schools are. 85% of students in this state go to public schools. The ESA accounts take money from those 85% of students. It's a clear case that will, on the ballot, defeat ESAs. And so, you know, they're going after technicalities. They're saying there are ditto marks and there was this wrong signature, maybe felons collected. You know, at the end of the day, I think the lawsuit gets thrown out.
What do you think, Doug?
This is a very large issue for the Goldwater Institute, who has a very strong constituency at the state capitol.
The issue of ESAs, school choice.
Yeah, this is one of their big issues, and they're gonna you know, do everything they can to assure that ESAs are part of the Arizona public school culture. Now, if you look at numbers, polling numbers that I've seen, they're not standing from a very strong standpoint with the greater electorate. And I don't think that this governor is going to want this issue being promoted or detracted on the ballot that he's going to be sitting on. Mm-hmm. So if it is certified for the ballot, I think that we can see what the legislature has done in the past that with things that are referred, they will change it and making it moot and try another avenue. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch this and how this plays out. But I don't think this governor wants to run have this on the ballot. I think he's going to try to do everything he can to keep controversial issues off the ballot that he's on.
Doug, just a couple of seconds left. Ultimately, bottom line, do you think that enough signatures will be certified to make the ballot and the lawsuit will be unsuccessful to lead to either a repeal or a public vote?
The initial validations from the counties that are in show that they're going to be okay.
Yeah, and those are a lot of the outlying counties. I'm not sure if there's a correlation.
All we have to see, yeah, but it's pretty consistent. The validation rates are pretty consistent county to county. Obviously, what's done here in Maricopa and Pima County is it's going to have the most effect, but all indications are it looks like it's going to move forward.
And I would say to the credit of the Save Our Schools Coalition, made up of educators, parents, average Arizonans, who a lot of people laughed at. This is a heavy lift, and I think they've done it, and I think they should be applauded for it.
Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, guys. That's Lawrence Robinson, a member of the Roosevelt School District Governing Board and executive director of the Maricopa Community College District Center for Civic Participation. A reminder, KJZZ is licensed to the Maricopa Community College District. Also joined by Doug Cole, senior vice president with High Ground Public Affairs. Guys, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you,
Mark.
And you're listening to the show.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.